this morning in Sunday school to when we all get to heaven, amen, and talked about what a blessing those words, what we've got to look forward to, church, amen, those of us that know the Lord. And this morning I told you that I'm going to preach on grace. I felt the Lord had spoke to me in a song that I heard that the Gaithers sang, "So Mercy and So Grace," and I already, "So Kindness and So Faith," and I'd already spoke on sowing mercy 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday was Sinkspiration. And so today I'm going to talk on grace, because I think grace is something that if we're not careful, it can really, really mislead lots of God's people. It's something that if we don't get our mind around properly and right and understand both sides of grace and what it means in our life. And I feel like it's a very important message this morning, because I prayed much over it. I've thought about it all week long, because I have the responsibility this morning to know that I have to preach the other side of grace to you this morning, so that we understand that it's more than just God's unmerited favor, although it is that. And God does give us favor on our life, but if we're not careful, so many times we get to thinking basically that's all it is, and people tend to walk in that. But there's much more to grace than that. And so this morning I want to talk about God's grace for the human race. God's grace for the human race. Throughout the years, I've heard so many different ways that grace has been talked about, different ideas on grace, different ways it's been presented in messages that have been preached. And I've probably heard just maybe every side of grace inside and out of God's Word maybe that can be preached. I don't know. I'm sure there's a few out there that I haven't. But I've heard most, and from that I have gone to God's Word, and I've read many, many a time and studied and applied myself to God's Word, because some of it I just knew it wasn't the kind of grace that I knew that God had given to me, and what God asked of me and what He expects in grace for us as a people. And I knew some of it wasn't truth, and yet I knew some of it, or most of it, every time I'd hear it preached, had parts of the truth in it. And so today I want us to try to get our minds around it a little bit. Many Bible translations and Bible scholars simply define grace, as I said, as God's unmerited favor. And if you talk to most people today and you say, and you would ask them, what is God's grace? Most people would say, well, it's God's unmerited favor. That's the answer most people would give you today. And as I said, it is. However, if you dig deeper and you begin to look deeper into different concordances and you look into God's Word, in fact, in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, I want to read to you how he defines a grace. He said that grace is that divine influence upon the heart. Now listen to me, church. It's a divine influence upon the heart, and its reflection in the life of that individual. It's the divine influence, you ought to write that down, of God upon a person's heart, and it's the reflection of that influence in the life of that individual. So it's more than just God giving me and you favor and pouring His favor out. He poured His favor out when He drawed us to Him, amen? It was His grace that helped draw us to it. By the grace of God were you and I saved this morning. And so we know that's a part of it. But there comes a time when to receive all of grace and all that God has for us, listen, it's got to get to the place in the believer's life that I want to talk about, that we begin to reflect that in our lives. If we don't ever get there, listen, you didn't get all of grace. I hate to tell you that this morning. I didn't, you didn't, and anybody else didn't here. If it don't become reflective in our life, we don't begin to produce that. I want to read to you out of Romans to start with this morning, chapter 5 and verse 20. And I want to show you something. I hope you're taking notes this morning. I hope you'll get your Bibles out. I've only got three scriptures. I'll give them to you. You can write them down, and maybe you can look them up while I go there this morning. I didn't print something this morning purposely, because I wanted to talk to you, and I want you to listen this morning and make sure you listen to what I'm going to give you, and hopefully you'll make some notes of your own. Romans 5 and 20 will be the first verse, and then we will be going to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And then I'm going to read from Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 8, as I preach or talk to you this morning. Romans 5 and 20 said this, "Moreover, the law entered, and that the offense..." Now, that word offense, if you're reading from the King James or any, if it says offense in your Bible, write sin above that. It could have just as easily said this, that the sin might abound. The law entered that the sin might abound. Now, that word abound, listen, simply means this. It means where it existed in large amounts, or where it was numbered, many, many sins in an individual's life. That's what the word abound means. Moreover, the law entered that the offense or the sin might abound. Now look, and we know that sin's a proper word there of offense, because look at the next line in that scripture. But where sin, now he uses sin, but where sin abounded instead of offense, grace did much more abound. Do you see that? He starts off with an offense. Look, anything, church, the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Amen? So he starts off with an offense. It don't have to be something so drastic like we think sometimes. But in the very next line there, I want you to know, instead of offense, he uses the word sin. They're interchangeable in that scripture. They mean the same thing in that scripture. But I love the last part of that, because he said, but where sin abounded, where sin existed, where sin was in a large amount, by number, in mine and your life, he said, we can rest assured, listen, that grace did or does much more abound to you and I this morning. Isn't that a good thing? Amen? Aren't you glad this morning that no matter how much sin you or I have ever had in our life or ever will have, you know what? God said, I've got enough grace to cover it all. Amen? When he went to the cross, amen, and he died on the cross, he said, you know what? I got enough grace to cover everything. But when he went to the cross for much more than just his favor upon mine and your life, although that's important we have that on our life. Amen. Are you with me this morning? I hope I'm not boring you. Amen. Hope you're not bored yet anyway. Another way of saying I just said when I told you that it's a divine influence upon the heart, or it's a reflection in a person's life, we could say it this way. It's when God touches mine or your heart, church, and it changes you or me. That's the other side of grace. Look, no change, you didn't get all of grace. You're not walking in grace. You can tell yourself all day long, I'm walking in God's unmerited favor. No, you're not if you didn't change. Hello? Because God touches your heart, it changes you. Listen, therefore, when that change is reflected in your life, only then did you and I receive all of grace. Amen. Let's look at 2 Peter 3 and 18. Look, but grow in grace. Look, you didn't get all of grace. When God poured his favor out on your life, you didn't get all of grace. He tells you right there, tells me, grow in grace and in the knowledge, that which you know, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now listen, this is important when it comes to grace. He wouldn't told us to grow in grace if we can't grow in grace. There's more to grace than him dying on the cross, church. Grace is something that comes to you and I from God that helps us to begin to grow up into God and begin to do the things so that God's reflected in our life and other people want to be like us when they get to know us so that they come to Christ. Now if you would look up the word grow that's used in that scripture, when he says grow in grace, here's what it means. Listen to this. I found this interesting. Grow means progress to maturity. So he's saying when he says grow in grace, he's telling you mature all the way into grace. There's some grace that you still need to grow up into. The second definition said this, become larger or greater over a period of time and increase. So when God says, but grow in grace, he's saying, over a period of time, if you'll get in my word, if you'll obey my commands, if you'll receive good teaching, if you'll grow in the knowledge of me, you know what? Grace will begin to grow up in mine and your life. Amen? And it should be increasing every day. Look, you shouldn't be walking. People will say this sometimes. They'll say, well, you know, I walk in grace every day. It better not be the same grace you walked in yesterday. You're supposed to be growing in grace every day. It's a daily thing, church, and I'm going to show you that. Amen? So we need to be growing and maturing in grace. We need to be becoming greater and increasing, amen, over a period of time. How much time? Every day that I'm alive on this earth, I need to be growing in God's grace. I need more of His grace, amen, than I needed yesterday. Now, let me tell you what grace is not. I want to deal with that a little bit, and then we'll be going to Romans 6. I'll read some scripture. Here's what grace is not. It's not divine permission that you and I can sin. That's what it's not. The world thinks you can do anything today, and they'll use the expression, well, God's grace will cover it. No. It's not a divine thing that you use to say, well, I can do whatever I want and God will cover it. That's not what grace is. It's not that we can do as we want and thinking it's all covered no matter what I do, no matter where I go and how I act. That is not grace, church. Amen? Most of us probably understand that this morning, but many people really think that's what grace is. See, if you're going to sin and do as you know that you're going to do, you know what? You don't need grace. If you're going to do that, church, listen. You don't need grace. What you need is what I preached last week. You need mercy and you need forgiveness. If you're going to go on deliberately sinning and doing those things, listen. Grace is the last thing. First of all, you didn't get grace. And it's the last thing you need because you need some mercy and you need forgiveness. Amen. Grace is not something that just floats around out there in the air to the Christian believer that I can pull down from heaven anytime I want to and say, well, you know what? God's grace is going to cover me or cover that or my family. It's not that, church. Amen? That's what many Christians think it is and claim it to be. That's not God's grace. Grace is not something you claim or do or that you own. It's something accomplished, listen, in you and I by God. It's something God accomplishes in you and I. Because He was invited into your life, listen, you genuinely came with a broken heart and repented and cried out to Him. And at that point, listen, grace should have entered your life. Amen. That's when grace comes to you and it's when grace comes to me. It's not that I just go out and do what I want to do. Grace is not something that you have to ask for or pray about except when you repent. Amen? You don't have to talk God into grace. Well, God, I did this and now I need to talk you into giving me some grace. No. Grace is something to the believer, listen, that if they get a hold of grace, both sides of it, that's with them and present all the time, that they walk in and have all the time, church. It's a genuine, honest cry from mine and your heart. Amen. About God's grace. It's a heart that gets totally honest before God. There's no words you and I can speak or pray or ask before God to God, give me more grace. You either got grace or you didn't. And if you got it, look, when God gives you something, He'll give you all He's got. He may require something of you and I, amen, to walk in it all, but He'll give you all that He's got to give you and I, church. Amen? It's not something we make a deal for. God, if you allow me to do this, God, amen, and I go ahead and do that, God, can I have your grace to do that? He's not a deal maker. He don't do that. No promises that you and I can keep or trick God into giving you and I grace, church. Amen? We can't use some kind of trickery on God. And think, you know what? Well, when I do this or that or go here or there, you know what? Knowing that God would not have me do it, and now I'm going to trick Him in somehow to giving me His grace. Listen, grace is a fact. It's a divine power that allows us to think as God thinks. Grace will allow you to think the way God thinks, church. It'll allow me, listen, it changes our heart. Amen. Have you ever seen the banners? They put them up in Newcastle about a change of heart. They put a, I forget exactly how it says it, but God changes our heart. He heals the hate that we might have in it when we come to Him. Listen, He'll heal our anger. He heals our hurts. He'll remove the fears out of our life. And He'll even let us get rid of people that have betrayed us from time to time in our life, or at least we thought they did. That's God's grace. Amen? And it's a process that we have to go through. Amen? Grace is the power of God, listen, that gives you and I the desire to live right. I don't ever want to do anything that I know displeases God. I don't ever want to do anything where God can't trust me. See, if I want to do those things or I have a desire, then I don't have grace, church. Because grace always comes down on the side. It's with me to do right all the time. That doesn't mean I'll always do right. But if I don't, I've walked out of and away from God's grace temporarily, church. God's grace always wants to do the right thing. It'll change your heart. It's the ability, listen, to do the right thing. He gives you the strength and the ability to do the right thing. Because you can't do it on your own. None of us could before we were saved. Come on. He gives us the desire and the ability to please God. To really please God. Amen? It said without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I've always preached and said, you know what? Look, you can have a faith then that pleases God. You ever thought about that? If He says without faith it's impossible to please Him, you can have a faith then that will please Him. And you can walk in that faith, church. Amen? So there's a faith that pleases God. Amen? And it gives us the desire and the ability to please God and to point people to Christ. That's the reason He brought grace to us to start with. He's dealing with a lost and a dying world, church. And He brings grace to you and I so we can point other people. Look, it shows up in our life. We begin to reflect Him. We were created and made in His image, in the image of God. An image is a reflection, church. We are to reflect Him. When grace comes, we have a desire more than anything else to please God and reflect Him. No matter what anybody else does. Amen? Listen, if you find yourself this morning having more patience in your life than you had before you became a Christian. Listen, grace happened in your life. Amen. Where patience is concerned. Amen. If you find yourself no longer wanting to spend time in all the wrong places, you know what? Then grace has found its way. It happened in your life in dealing with doing all those things and going all those places that you knew you didn't have any business being. Grace has come into your life. Amen. If you find yourself, listen, you value the right things. You have integrity more than you want to profit about anything else. Rather than use people or manipulate people. But you got real integrity to do what God wants to do irregardless. You know what? Then grace has happened in your life. Otherwise, you know what? If you're trying to manipulate and have your own way, you know what? Grace didn't happen in your life. Hello? If you find yourself this morning loving God more than anything else. I've told you, you know what? I think she knows that. I love Mary Jo. But she has to take second place to God. And when I make decisions that come to the things of God. Amen? Look, this morning, if you love anything in your life, more than you love God this morning, and you can't say He's number one in my life, you know what? Then grace didn't happen in your life, church. Because real grace will make you desire that more than anything else. If you find yourself today, listen, you're better able to forgive people today than you've ever been able. I'm not saying you're just perfect all the time. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it happens more often. You know what? Grace has happened in your life in the realm of forgiveness. Amen? If you're no longer walk in fear that you used to walk in. Some people walk in fear all the time. You know what? Then grace came into your life when Christ came. Because today you're walking not in the fear that you once did. Amen? If you love your next door neighbor all of a sudden more than you've ever loved them. You don't even understand why you love them. You used not to even like them. Come on. You know what? Then grace has happened in your life this morning, in my life. Amen. If I find myself, listen, getting angry, still getting angry and losing my temper and going out of control, you know what? And it hadn't gotten better in my life, then you know what? Then grace ain't happened in mine and your life, church. Amen. You ought to write this down. Grace is God's ability to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit into the realm of the five senses, or the natural realm, or the earthly realm. It's God manifesting through the Holy Spirit and His power in every area of our life, in our senses, in everything, amen, that moves you and I in this life. In other words, in our sight, our hearing. You know what? Look, if I'm still all the time wanting to look at things that I know wouldn't please God, grace hadn't happened in that side of my life, church. Amen. If I'm still wanting to listen to things, and I got friends that I know are ungodly, and I want to hang around them, listen to it, and goes in my hearing, which affects my faith, because faith comes by, come on, church. You know what? Then grace hadn't covered my life in that area. Look, if in the things that I smell, if I'm, you know what? If I smell a good time and having fun and doing all the wrong things, rather than I just smell His presence. I just feel His presence this morning. Oh, God is just surrounding me. It's a sweet smelling presence this morning. It's what His Word talks about. Amen. If it ain't like that, church, you know what? Then grace hadn't touched that sense in my life. The touch, if I'm still wanting to touch things, grab on to things, hold on to things that I know God don't want me to, church, and that's in my life still, then God's grace hadn't covered that area of my life. Hello? The Scripture said, taste and see. If I'm wanting to take a little taste of this and a little taste of that, stuff that I know, you know what? It's damaging to my health. It's not a good thing for me, whatever. He said, taste and see that the Lord's good. Amen. So if I'm wanting to do those things, listen, it's the Spirit of God touching our five senses in that area, amen, by the Holy Spirit in you and to you and through you. Why? Why does He do that? So that He can accomplish the things, listen, that I couldn't do, or that I didn't do, or that I wouldn't do, and that I can only do through the power of the Holy Spirit and God reflecting in my life, amen, and changing mine in your life. Amen. It's quiet. Boy, this is good stuff. I tell you, this touched me all over when I studied for this message, church. Because I think it's serious business. We were talking this morning. You know what? How many want to make heaven your home? We need the other side of grace. We don't need just to be walking around saying, God's grace will cover it. God's grace will cover it. Teaching our kids, well, you know what? That's okay, son. God's grace. No. We need to teach them right, church. And say, you know what? God's grace brings change in our lives, church. In our lives, our kids' lives, our grandkids' lives. Amen. I mean, you and I, the Bible says, you and I, you know what? We'll look at our own heart and we'll justify our own heart when it's not right, church. The Bible talks about that. We can't even judge our own heart and not do it properly. That's why God, the Bible said, will judge us out of our what, church? Our hearts. See, to really receive God's grace, the kind of grace I'm talking about this morning, the first thing you've got to do is get to a place in your life that you learn to really be honest with God. Hello. I mean, really be honest with God. Listen, because whether you know it or not, listen, He's already known every thought you've had since I started preaching this message. Everything that's gone through your mind, He's already read it. He already knows it. And He already heard it. Amen. And he saw already today everything that you've already done. And He's heard every word you've spoke. Come on. See, if you live under grace, here's the thing. We just read it. I read it to you in Romans 5 there and 20. You know what? If you live under grace, you hate sin. You don't laugh at it. You don't try to find a way to use it. You don't do those things, church. Amen. If you're under grace today, you hate sin. And you'll live as right as you know how to live. Listen, not for your sake, although it is for our sake too. For His sake, because I love Him. See, that's why I want to live right. Here's why we fail so many times as Christians. Listen to me. Because I think, you know what? I think so many times I'm living for myself. I'm doing these things for me to make me better. No. I'm doing it for His sake. Because you know what, church? Because He gave me grace. And He hates sin, therefore I know I ought to what, church? Hate sin. Amen? He lived right. The Bible said He lived in this life without any sin. Which means, you know what? Then I ought to also not want to sin. And I ought to always have a desire to want to live right. Does that make sense? I'm a pretty simple guy, so it made sense to me. So I'm giving it to you because I'm pretty simple. I think that's probably right. Listen, the omnipotent grace of God can change and transform. I don't care who the person is. So many times we'll look at a person, if we're not careful, you know what? We'll put them in a group or we won't have anything to do with them as far as trying to bring Christ to. God's grace can transform anybody and anything, church. Amen? I always say, if He could transform me, trust me, He can transform anybody. It's the truth, church. Look, when you're at your worst or you feel hopeless, or if you know somebody this morning, Wayman, amen, that feels hopeless, you know what? God can literally, Wayman, transform their life. He can change their life. Amen? He quickens those that are dead in their spirit that come to church so many times and we come to church dead. You know what? I was thinking about that too. You know what? Listen, in church we come and sometimes we think, I really appreciated the first song this morning because I don't know, I just could hear it better up here today from you out there and the speaker, and we were singing up here and it was just, man, it just kind of filled the house and it was just touching me as we singing that first song. But I thought about, you know what, listen, God's people, we need to realize it's okay to have fun at church. It's okay to make some noise at church. It's okay to clap our hands and raise our hands. You know what? It's okay if somebody gets so blessed and they start crying. They take a few steps down that aisle or two. Don't get shook up. Let them enjoy the blessing and praise God. Amen? Listen, if a person, I've always said this, you know what? If a person, let's say they go to church more than somebody thinks they should or they talk about Christ sometimes more than they should, what do we tend to call them, church? We'll say they're what? They're a fanatic. They're fanatical. Man, they're just a total fanatic. And I always have said, a fanatic just means that somebody loves Jesus a little more than somebody else most of the time. Because listen, have you ever thought about this? Listen, we go down to ball game, and many of you I've seen there, and I've seen you yell and holler and clap at ball games or your kids. And you know what we call them at a ball game? Man, they're a great fan. What about this? What about if we put you over in the fan part for Jesus. Come on. We become a fan for Jesus and we begin to clap and holler a little bit and amen. Come on, raise our voices for Him, church. Listen, so He'll quicken those that are dead in their spirit. He'll excite them and make their spirit alive. Amen. That's what He said. That's what the word quicken means. When you see it in the Bible, that just means made alive. He made them alive. Amen? And He'll quicken their spirit with, listen, He'll give us new strength, church. He'll change our motives. Do you know He changes our motives? What? Why we want to do things? Sometimes we think we fool God, you know. We go around, we want this or that, and we make it happen. God says, you know what, I already got you, man. Got you. Amen, church. Wrong motives. He gives us new principles. He'll give us new feelings. Amen? He'll help us feel better than we've ever felt in our life. I guarantee you, when you know Christ and you really know Him, He'll give us all kinds of new desires, new goals. Amen? New aspirations in life. He'll make us want to live life every day, to get up excited about life. Amen. I'll tell you, still, and I get up many times, and I'm not asking people to, I'm not saying it to get anybody to feel sorry for me. Don't want that. But I'm going to tell you know what? I still wake up excited about Christ. I can't hardly wait to see people and talk to people about Jesus. That's truth, church. He excites me. Amen. He brought life to me this morning. And so this morning, I want you to take that with you today, and I want you to think about that. You know what? Look, he's not just God's unmerited favor, church, although he's that. We've never been saved without that. Amen. But his unmerited favor came, look, because he gives us the strength in all those areas I've talked about, you know what? To change. The last thing that you and I is going to do before we leave the earth is change. God's all about change. Amen. And he constantly wants me and you to be changing every day. That's why he used that word grow. It says every day I'm increasing. Every day I'm getting bigger. Amen. Every day I'm making progress in my life. See? And when I look at both sides of that, I begin to understand, you know what? No, I don't use his grace wrong and say, well, God's just going to give me favor. He'll take care of everything. Oh, he can take care of everything. But you know what, church? I've got to have that other part in my life that says, you know what? He gave me his favor. Why? Why, Brother Roger? Why did he give you his grace? Because he knew, buddy, you needed to change. And you know what, church, this morning? Probably you need to change some too. We all do. Amen. And walk in his grace this morning. Stand with me. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for grace. Father, I pray that you will help us maybe to, if need be, to go online, listen to the message over and over again. Father, till we get the fact, without a doubt, God, that it's not anything we're doing, it's you, it's us letting you simply work in our life to accept your unmerited favor to change us. And you will ask us to change, and you will cause us to change, and you'll help us to change, and you'll give us the strength to change, and you'll do all those things that I've talked about this morning so that we're pleasing to you. So that when that last trumpet sounds, we'll be ready for the final change. Father, I pray that you would help us to be ready for that, that we would understand your grace. Because, Father, if we miss part of it, if we miss that half of it, then we're not walking in any of it. And so I pray that you would help us all to grow, as you said in your word, in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed this morning.